It's 8:01. This is KVNF Regional News for Wednesday, January 28th. I'm Patricia Naft. A bill to allow terminally ill patients to take their own lives was introduced at the state capitol yesterday. Supporters say they want to give patients an option to die with dignity. Benta Birklin has more.
House Bill 1135 would let people who have less than 6 months to live take a prescription to die. Democratic sponsor Representative Lois Cord of Denver says two physicians must approve and the patient must be mentally competent and able to take the medication unassisted.
These people are not suicidal. Their disease is going to kill them. They want to choose the what, the where, the when, the with whom.
Opponents, including the American Medical Association, say such legislation is a slippery slope and puts physicians in a tough spot. No Republican lawmakers are on board yet. I'm Benta Birkeland at the state capitol.
The public comment period for the Bull Mountain unit has been extended. It's a proposed development of 146 gas wells in Gunnison County, just north of the Paonia Reservoir. The initial 45-day period has been doubled to 90, meaning the BLM is open to comment on their environmental impact statement now until April 16th. A public meeting about the EIS is scheduled for Tuesday, February 10th at the Paonia High School. The past few years, the Western Slope has seen bitter cold. This year is a different story. KVNF's Jake Ryan has more.
There's been a few people posting on thealmanac.org wondering about the weather, specifically the temperature. Across the Western Slope this month, temperatures have been in the 40s, the 50s, even the low 60s near the end of January. To figure out what was going on, I talked to Jeff Colton with the National Weather Service in Grand Junction. He says that because there's not a lot of snow cover, we've been seeing unseasonably warm days.
That's part of it. We've also had a ridge of high pressure parked over the western United States, and it's been basically blocking all the weather systems from coming across and impacting us. We've had a few storms come through, but they just haven't been really strong this year.
Colton says that it's hard to pin down the reason why we have these current conditions.
There's all kinds of different oscillations we look at, storms coming off of Asia and things like that. We can sometimes see those connections, and there's been no direct correlation so far for at least the past 3 or 4 weeks.
He stresses, though, that winter is far from over. We might see an earlier spring, but February and March are still going to be heavy snow months. If you'd like to join the conversation about our changing climate, check out thealmanac.org. For KVNF, I'm Jake Ryan.
Last week, Northern Colorado business leaders discussed the region's economic outlook for 2015. While things look good overall, one sector that sees swings from year to year is agriculture, and it's a big part of the state's economic growth, contributing $40 billion annually. To get a glimpse of what this year might hold for Colorado farmers, KUNC and Harvest Public Media's Luke Runyon spoke with presenter Brian Keel with the agricultural consulting firm Keiko Isom.
What do you see as some of the big changes coming to the farm economy in this upcoming year?
Certainly low commodity prices is the overwhelming story, and that's going to put downward pressure on everything from input prices to land rents. I think farmers are going to try to find ways to make ends meet if they can, and a lot of them will have challenges making ends meet. That'll probably lead to increased consolidation. We'll probably see some farmers who will not be able to make it through low commodity prices. Having said that, in the beef sector, expect some growth. We think that that beef prices are looking better and will probably continue upward. So a mixed bag depending on what type of operation you're looking at.
Whenever we're talking about economic forecasts, you have to include a lot of caveats, and wild cards could potentially come up, especially in agriculture. What do you think in 2015 could potentially be some of those wild cards that could come up that could change up a forecast?
Well, certainly weather is one of the big wild cards. I mean, it was in large measure drought that drove up commodity prices. And already you're seeing some discussion of that with Brazil and what's happening with weather patterns in Brazil and South America and how could that change commodity prices, certainly with respect to soybeans. So I think weather is the big wild card that will change things. And that's always unpredictable. And I think with climate change, it's becoming less predictable.
2014 was the warmest year on record globally. What do you think farmers need to know about climate change? It affects their industry dramatically. How do you think it affects their bottom line?
Many large producers and certainly the supply chain take it as a given that climate change is real and that it's affecting agriculture. It's not in agriculture's interest to have weather patterns change. What we would like is to have relative stability. With change in weather patterns comes more uncertainty, more volatility, increased drought, increased flooding, increased pestilence and pests. So overall, climate change is not a beneficial thing for agriculture. And large producers are taking steps to try to mitigate the impact of climate change on their operations.
We had the State of the Union address this week. The congressional session is about to be in full swing. What do you think are going to be some of the biggest policy changes that could affect farmers?
Well, certainly one of the biggest policy changes will be the tax code. Tax reform is on the front of everyone's agenda, from the president to the U.S. House to the U.S. Senate. And tax code changes have a real potential to impact agriculture. Agriculture is a commodity business with high volatility and high risk. And because of that, federal policy has traditionally recognized a special place for agriculture. I think as Congress looks at ways to flatten the tax code and, quote, make it more fair, it's really important that we don't inadvertently hurt U.S. agriculture.
How about immigration? As soon as this congressional session was about to get started up, you saw executive actions from President Obama talking about immigration reform, lots of agricultural groups saying we need to go further. Do you think that that's going to make any traction this year?
Unfortunately, I think immigration is a highly politicized issue area. Agriculture, by and large, I think would like to see some reform in immigration for the simple reason of farm workers and labor. You know, unfortunately, it's so polarized, it's hard to imagine Congress moving a comprehensive immigration reform package. Having said that, I think there is a window of opportunity for sort of grand bargains between the White House and Congress. Whether the two sides can get their act together and whether it will include immigration is another question.
That was Brian Keel talking with KUNC and Harvest Public Media's Luke Runyon. The latest numbers on employment have been released, and they look all right. Joe Winter is a senior economist with the Colorado Department of Labor and Employment.
The state overall has had a fall in the unemployment rate to 4.0%, and that's on a seasonally adjusted basis. The last time it was that low was in October of 2007, just prior to the Great Recession. What it indicates is that Colorado had a 2.5-3 year period now of steady to solid economic growth, and we've outpaced the national unemployment rate by 1.6 percentage points. It's taken a long time to come out of a very unpleasant economic situation, and that this steady growth in numbers does bode well for the overall economic climate of Colorado.
Winter says that the western slope has improved over last year, although still behind other energy boom counties in the state. Stay tuned for Jeff and the Wednesday Morning Music Mix. For KVNF News, I'm Patricia Naft.